This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by You Build It. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in Seattle?
We've reached a boiling point in Seattle. It's gotten so bad with the derelict RV, the encampments, the drug dealing, that people have snapped. And someone decided to tow a garbage-filled RV to the front of Lisa Herbold's home. Lisa Herbold, an incumbent Seattle City Councilwoman from West Seattle. She is running for re-election. She is one of the reasons why homelessness is as bad as it is in the city of Seattle. And someone has had it. And what I love about this story, what I love most about this story, two things. Number one, it should put every single politician on notice that we are losing our patience on issues that are incredibly important to all of us. And number two, it shows the hypocrisy of progressives. It shows the hypocrisy of the left. Because I am seeing a whole bunch of people on Twitter who likes to call out everybody on the right or anyone who dares say they want homelessness taken care of. They get called NIMBYs. And yet, they're upset with someone moving an RV in front of Lisa Herbold's home. I'm seeing people say that this is terrorizing Lisa Herbold, putting this derelict RV in front of her. It's terrorizing her. Really? Is it terrorizing those of us who live in the area who have to live across the street from these derelict RVs or have businesses next to these derelict RVs or have places of worship surrounded by these derelict RVs? Is that us being terrorized? Because you tell us to chill out. These are people. These are just people. Human beings like you and me. These are your neighbors, your friends, your family members, just experiencing some tough times right now. Show some compassion. Okay, why aren't you showing compassion? Why aren't you showing compassion? Why is this a big deal? It's not a big deal when we have to deal with it, so why is it suddenly a big deal when a council member has to deal with it? I don't quite understand. Now, of course, these people don't realize how hypocritical they're being, which is why they're making the argument. But watch, they're going to start changing the conversations. This is Jason Tells the Future on October 9th at 5.07 p.m. Write that down, producer Peyton. 5.07 p.m., this is me telling the future. This is what's going to happen. And it's probably going to happen tomorrow. People are going to come out and say, you know what? Actually, this isn't a big deal at all. Lisa Herbold herself is going to come out probably and make some sort of comment of saying, you know what? I understand why this is happening here, and I'm okay living across the street from a derelict RV because these are people just like you and me, and how dare you try to weaponize this against me? I'm compassionate. Of course, she'd be lying through her teeth because her compassion has left more and more people out on the streets. When you look at the situation, the emails that I've been able to uncover and post at KTCH.com, I found out that behind the scenes, she's working hard to slow down the progress of the navigation team. She leaks information to bloggers who are friendly to her to try to go after the navigation team, to try to go after voices that call out the fact that she has no sense of urgency on this problem. She's part of the issue that's keeping people living out on the streets. Her compassion is doing nothing. Our compassion is getting people who are dealing with mental illness the health care that they need. Our compassion is getting someone who's dealing with a drug addiction the addiction treatment they need. Our compassion is taking someone who's living outside, surrounded by human waste and used needles, to get them inside, connected with services. That's our compassion. I'm proud of our compassion. And I'm proud of anyone who does things the legal way, the safe way to make their points. You guys right now, not just in the Seattle City Council, but those of you who are in Tumwater and Port Orchard and Puyallup, Olympia, Tacoma, Bellingham, Tacoma, again, we put up Tacoma twice because I don't like what's going on there on this. You guys are on notice. We are losing our patience. I wish we were not at the point where something like this had to happen. I don't like this stunt, but I appreciate what it is people are trying to do. And it's going to happen again. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
Joe Biden decided to officially board the crazy train, endorse impeachment, which makes him much easier to beat if he actually wins the nomination. He is mad that he and his son Hunter are being called out for very questionable dealings, in a lot of people's opinion, with a Krupp company in the Ukraine. And now, as a result, he wants President Trump impeached.
Our democracy, our basic integrity.
Yeah.
He should be impeached.
Oh, yes.
That's only because of what he's done. Whether he has committed acts of sufficient to warrant impeachment is obvious.
Oh, it's obvious. Write that down.
We see it in Trump's own words. We see it in the text from State Department officials that have been made public. We see it in his pulling much of the United States government into his corrupt schemes, individuals within the government, his appointees.
Oh, okay. I think the Trump administration is actually handling this latest onslaught of impeachment talk the right way, saying we are not going to get involved in this. We are not going to allow your job to be easier because right now we don't have to. You haven't actually gone through a formal impeachment and inquiry vote. You just said that you're starting it formally. You haven't actually taken a vote, which means we don't really have to get involved all that deeply right now, because really, you know what this is about, they say? This is about overturning the 2016 election. You're mad that we won, and now you're trying to impeach. And now you've just given more fodder to President Trump to go after Joe Biden.
Falling like a rock. We have him on tape with corruption. I mean, he's getting the prosecutor for, I guess, John, it was $2 billion, saying we're not going to give you the $2 billion or whatever the amount was unless you get rid of this prosecutor. And then he goes, lo and behold, the prosecutor was gone. And that was the prosecutor. Excuse me, John?
$1.2 billion.
Not a lot of money. And then his son takes out $1.5 billion from China. And by the way, the $50,000 a month that he was getting from Ukraine looks like it's $168,000 split among him and somebody else, his friend. And also there's a payment of about $3 million to his son. His son just got thrown out of the Navy. So Biden is dropping like a rock. I don't think he's going to make it. I didn't think he was going to make it for a long time. I don't think he's going to make it. And I guess this is one way he can do it. You know, he didn't say that until right now, and he sees what's happening to him. I guess he's no longer the front runner.
Yeah. Now, at the same time, I actually think there's an interesting point being made by Beto, and which is, by the way, I don't normally say that about Beto. I don't normally say he has a good point, but he actually kind of does. Strategically, he's right. He was on MSNBC, Beto O'Rourke, and he was asked by the anchor, hey, shouldn't Pelosi call for a formal vote on the impeachment inquiry? Because right now it's basically at a point where the White House doesn't legally have to cooperate. And he actually made a really good point.
I do. And, you know, I don't want to question the speaker's wisdom.
Okay,
and
I'm
sure she has a very good reason for proceeding in the way that she has. But to your question, I'd love to remove that as a talking point or a reason for the kind of obstruction that you're seeing from the president. But I think Speaker Pelosi was right on the mark by warning President Trump that his refusal to respond to these subpoenas and to cooperate with this impeachment investigation in and of itself is potential for grounds for another article of impeachment.
It's not.
Which, as we know, we saw against President Nixon in 1974. So the president cannot obstruct with impunity.
He's not obstructing with impunity. He's doing the smart thing right now, which is forcing your hand. He's not going to make this easy for you. And he knows that once they actually go on the record with a vote, it can be used against the Democrats. So he's basically saying, okay, do it. We're calling your bluff. I don't think you're actually going to do it, but if you do, it's going to be harder for you to beat any of us on the right in an election, because the American public doesn't want this. Not the way you think they do. And so we're going to get people, force them to go on the record. That's going to hurt. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. You can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/JasonRants. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
The Lakonda School District in Skagit County is one of four school districts all across the country suing the company Juul. This is the largest e-cigarette maker in the country. Superintendent Whitney Meisner says the device is specifically targeting kids, and she needs to get involved. Right now, she joins me on the line. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So before we get into some of the arguments that are being made, how is the Juul device impacting the students in your school district?
Well, I think it's impacting both the students who are using it and the students who are noticing other students using it. First of all, they're very easy to conceal. They look like things kids would typically have in a classroom, like a flash drive or a pen. And that's hard for us to regulate, and it's tempting for kids to bring into the classroom. And we're also hearing from some kids that when they watch other kids use the devices, it's scaring them. It makes the bathrooms crowded, and sometimes they feel unsafe. So we're trying to address all of that, the safety of all students and the health and well-being of all students.
How much of the student population do you think are smoking?
You know, vaping, I'm not entirely sure. Our recent healthy youth survey data, which are a year old, shows that use is on the rise, but I would suspect if we gave the survey again this year, it would be an even higher number. So it's just very difficult to predict.
So why are you guys engaged in this lawsuit right now? Because obviously Juul has been around for a while.
I think that there's been a lot of recent publicity about the heightened dangers with people becoming very ill and even dying as a result of using Juul products. And we want to make sure that our children are not going to be on the receiving end of that kind of detrimental health impact. So it's we've got to get it out of the hands of kids and out of our schools.
Well, it's not necessarily Juul products that have been used, right? I mean, from the reports, it's been, you know, black market devices or tampered with devices, not necessarily coming from Juul.
That very well could be. However, without the marketing prowess of a company like Juul, people wouldn't even know about those black market devices.
They would know about. I have no idea how to buy a black market vaping device.
Yeah.
And I'm very familiar with what Juul is and what Juul provides. So could you connect the dots a little bit more for me on that one?
Yeah, so, but I don't know specifically how to go buy something on the black market. What I'm saying is that without knowing that something like a Juul e-cigarette is in existence, they wouldn't be looking for it on the black market.
I mean, okay, but I mean, you could see how that argument can be sort of twisted and manipulated a little bit, right? I mean, there are lots of things that kids can't purchase legally now, but we can sell legally to people who are 18 or 21 and over, and so you're not going after those companies. I suppose, why is it specifically Juul when they haven't necessarily been tied to anything that's been going on in your district as far as some of the health impacts? Because there are other makers of e-cigarette products that you're not suing.
That's correct. We're looking at Juul as the preeminent company, and that's our first focus, I guess that's what I would say.
Okay. How would you say that they specifically target kids? Because I've seen some of the comments you've made, and you're very direct. You say they are targeting children.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when you create devices that look like other things that kids use, and when you put flavors in your liquids that are flavors that are attractive to children, and when you create marketing campaigns that have pictures of young-looking people doing cool things, it's very difficult for me to understand how that wouldn't be targeting children.
Well,
targeting our youth.
Do you think that then flavored alcohol is targeting children?
I think that a very good case could be made for that.
Would you make that case? Because I'm presuming that you, just like any other school district across the country, have students who are drinking alcohol and they shouldn't. And we want to tell every kid, do not do that. But again, I've certainly seen lots of vodka flavors that mm-hmm. are, you know, very similar, if not exactly the same, to the Juul device flavors. And I'm not seeing mm-hmm. a lawsuit against vodka makers or cider makers or beer makers.
Sure. Well, I think that it's an interesting point on a couple of levels. One is that I agree that if there are companies that are creating flavors that are harmful to children, that are going to be ingested by children, they should be held accountable. The main difference is I haven't yet seen a vodka company that is marketing something that is easy to conceal and carry into a school campus and to use without being observed.
Do you have water bottles in your school?
There's a big difference between a water bottle and a water bottle filled with an alcohol that can be smelled and that we can see the impacts.
So the basic argument is that it's a little bit easier for you to track a bottle that might be filled with cotton candy flavored vodka than some of these devices.
That's a piece of it. I also just think when we look at our statistics, and I don't have them right in front of me, the impact of the number of kids that are using Juul type devices is at school. I'm not talking about outside of school. At school is significantly higher than what you're talking about.
That's what you believe.
With vodka.
Okay, fair enough. But I'm just using your argument, which it's a weird argument to me, Whitney. It's this idea that there are flavors that appeal to kids, and that is absolutely true. But there are flavors that also appeal to adults. And I'm singularly hearing the calls to ban vaping products. And specifically the flavors, although not tobacco, which is, again, a little bit bizarre to me that, you know, in calling for a ban here in Washington State by the governor, saying, okay, we're going to go after the berry flavors, the mint and the mangoes and whatnot, but not tobacco flavor. I don't understand that argument. And I don't understand how there's any semblance of consistency when we allow for, you know, vodka that's flavored with the exact same type of marketing.
Well, I think there are a couple of differences, but I'm certainly not going to advocate that we continue marketing anything that's flavored that could be an attractive nuisance to youth in particular. Alcohol in general is one of the most toxic things that a human can put in their body, so I wouldn't advocate that we should be marketing alcohol any stronger than we are now either.
Point is that you're not suing on that behalf, and that's really my issue here, is that you're going after Juul, and if that's what you want to do, if you think that that's the right move, more power to you. I happen to disagree with that because I look at e-cigarettes as a means for people to get off traditional cigarettes, and it is safer. Not safe. It is safer than traditional cigarettes. And the data seems to suggest... Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, you go ahead. Finish your thought.
I was going to say, the data seems to suggest that people aren't choosing to smoke or vape via e-cigarettes when they otherwise would not have done any of it, although I suppose that exists. But we do see a clear decline in people traditionally smoking cigarettes going to vapor products. And if they're going to do any of those, I'd rather them do the vaporizing, not the tobacco smoking.
Well, it's interesting that you say that because our most recent Healthy Youth Survey actually contradicts that for the first time in many, many years. We're seeing addiction to nicotine and use of cigarettes on the increase for the first time in at least a couple of decades. So I think that the information is changing all the time, and that's part of why we want to put a stop to this right now and say, get all of this out of the hands of kids and out of our classrooms and our schools.
I will say this on those surveys, which this kind of drives me nuts. The survey, unless something has changed recently, will consider someone who tried a cigarette or tried a Juul one time in the last 30 days and make no major difference between that person and someone who's a habitual daily smoker. And isn't that a little bit misleading?
There are all different kinds of ways that the data are collected, but yeah, that is one of the measures.
I wonder if, because here's one deal. I technically, according to that, I would be considered a Juul device smoker or an e-vapor because I tried it one time because I was kind of curious, right? I didn't become addicted. You generally don't become addicted after taking one puff. I just kind of wanted to see what it was like. But I would be treated in that circumstance the exact same way as someone who is vaping four or five times a day. And when you've got newer technology, and I think this is a valid point for people who are concerned, is, yeah, a kid might be more willing to try that out to see what it's all about. But we shouldn't conflate those two types of smokers, and I wonder if that gives off a disingenuous opinion of the data, or disingenuous look at the data.
Well, all I know is that they've used the same type of survey for every other year for decades.
That's
and
how they
so
do it.
If we've seen a trend asking the same question going down, and all of a sudden the trend has changed, that would strike me as significant.
Yeah. Again, like I said, you are absolutely correct to point that data out. That's how the data is collected. I just wish that we would be a little bit more consistent, I guess, in the way we decide to call out a smoker or a vapor user. What's the timeline on this as far as moving forward? Obviously, the case has been submitted. Are you coordinating, or do you have just the lawyer who's handling it on behalf of the school district?
The law firm is handling the timeline for us. They've kept us informed. We get pretty much daily updates at this point. I don't expect it'll move forward overly quickly. And quite frankly, even if people disagree with the action, it's gotten a conversation started that needed to happen, including you. You're talking to me and getting people thinking about this. And my greatest hope, quite frankly, is that more parents and children are going to be engaging in these types of conversation at the dinner table and in the car rides. And if more people are talking about it and more kids are healthy, I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, and look, at the end of the day, again, I don't want kids smoking cigarettes or vaporizing. You don't either. And this is a good point for parents who are listening. Have these conversations with your kids. Have them with your kids. Even if you think your kid would never do it, you know, just remind them. I've been talking with Superintendent Whitney Meisner of the LeConner School District. Whitney, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. Things have gotten so bad for one Seattle company, they've decided to leave the city. They faced what seems like endless theft and vandalism, dealing with trash, needles, human waste left around their businesses, and they're done. Impact Bioenergy is an environmental business, which you would think would be perfect for Seattle, but after their concerns have been mostly ignored, they are moving after being here for 3 years. Jan Allen is the president of the company, and he joins me now. Jan, thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So take us through some of your concerns, because I've read some letters that you've put out there that you've tried to get a response from the city. Tell us what you've experienced.
Well, it's really not about it's not about housing or homeless. It's not about the police department. It's about the small group of people that are using the homeless problem as sort of a cover to vandalize businesses and just and of course the trash and the needles and all the drug culture that goes with it. So we're leaving Seattle for a while. We're not, you know, this is our home city, and we take our machines convert food waste into fertilizer and renewable energy. So we don't need a dumpster. We don't need a sewer connection. We're doing everything in a zero waste system, which is classic Seattle. You know, this is where we started, but, we're just going to have to take a time out until there's some sort of ability for the police to do what they want it to. And, you know, there's no real sense of behavioral limit. It seems to be getting worse. So we can't deal with it.
So how have the problems manifested itself towards your company?
Well, we have a model. We put one at Fremont Brewing Company between Ballard and Fremont. And it's a model that hopefully would be replicated in other communities. It's a community-based system where you don't have to truck your waste anywhere. And that particular unit, we actually competed and won a small grant from the city to start it, which was it's long since passed on the grant part of it. But it's Seattle Public Utilities was a partial sponsor. And the machine recently, we can't keep the wiring, the electrical wiring intact. It keeps getting stolen. We had a cargo tricycle that's an electric collection tricycle to collect food waste that actually is powered by food waste. And that got stolen. And then the fecal material and the needles, and it's hard to keep the, you know, the first one going, let alone try to build more of them.
When you point out that, you know, you think that some folks are using sort of as cover the homelessness crisis here, but based on what you just said, I mean, when we're talking about used needles and human waste, it does sound, at least in part, that this is a homelessness problem.
Well, I think it's a crime problem. I don't...
But you don't mean it's not homeless people. You just mean that there's an underlying issue here that can be addressed alongside homelessness, since it sounds like it's obviously a more complex issue.
It is a complex issue, right.
So you've reached out to the city council and the mayor, I know at least on two occasions. What has the reaction been?
The reaction, I did get a response from a local council member, and I think there's no path forward at this point. It was there was a little bit of discussion about policing, but I feel sorry for the police department.
Yeah.
I don't think being a police officer in Seattle would be very easy because of this sort of lack of behavioral limits. There's not any consequence if somebody steals something. I don't know. Just seems like it's pretty hard to police right now.
Yeah. Just joining me, we're talking with Jan Allen. He's the president of Impact Bioenergy. This is an environmental zero waste business here in Seattle. They're deciding to take a break from the city, leaving the city over what's been going on in his community or around the business, where it's been the victim of several acts of vandalism and theft, human waste, and used needles being left there. Now, you say you got a response from your council member, Mike O'Brien?
Yeah, that's right.
So when did Mike O'Brien, Councilmember O'Brien, respond to you? Because I know, again, you did have to send two letters.
Probably a month ago. Yeah.
Okay. What were those conversations like? Did you feel like you were being heard? I know that you said you had a little bit of a conversation about policing, but do you feel like the council member adequately understood your concerns?
I can't say. I think I didn't get the feeling like we were really mission critical for the city. It's sad for us because we're doing something good for the climate change,
yeah.
The greenhouse gases, the soil, the water system, water quality. We create jobs and we're good for education. So we have a lot of positive things to bring to the local community, and but we're not very big. We're maybe not big enough to move the needle.
Well, that's ridiculous. I don't care how big you are, right? And that shouldn't matter. This is a business that has some significant concerns about what's happening in their neighborhood. And by the way, again, you are very much in alignment with some of the missions coming from Mike O'Brien himself, someone who's a very big environmentalist. Some would say he's very, very extreme on these issues. And so you would think that there would be a little bit bigger of a piece of the needle moving just a little bit. What does that say to you? I mean, how do you feel about that?
My feeling is that the leadership of the city needs to be more courageous about recognizing that not everybody is just there's some folks that are in the city that are just taking advantage of the city's soft touch on street crime, and it's really difficult for the business community and for residents, people with children, to have to be confronted with the kind of things that we got confronted with. So whether you're a business or a family with children or anybody, really, it takes some courage to say this behavior is not okay. And, where's the parent in the room? There has to be somebody that says this is not okay.
Where are you headed after all of this? You're taking the break.
We're still in King County. We have three others in King County. We're moving into California. We've got some going towards Colorado, and we have one in New York State. So we just have to wait a while and see if Seattle can create a little bit better environment on the street.
Well, I wish you the absolute best of luck. We want to support you, not just because we can appreciate the business that you're doing, but because it's the right thing to do. And we're in a city that this problem is out of control. It's out of hand. So best of luck in the future. Hopefully we'll help move the needle a little bit on this. And please let us know if anything changes, okay?
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. That was Jan Allen. He's the president of Impact Bioenergy. They are leaving Seattle, taking a break from Seattle over all of the crime associated with some really bad policies here. You're listening to the Jason Rancho. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho. We are live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Really do appreciate you guys tuning in and liking me on Facebook. We are very close. We said at the end of this year, we need to get to 10,000 Facebook followers. We are so close. So if you haven't already done so, please text the keyword Facebook to 1-800-465-8770 or just head on over to facebook.com/Jason Rants Show. Give me a follow. Give me a like. It allows us to get all of our content out there. It allows us to grow, and once we hit 10,000, it opens a whole bunch of new tools to our disposal, which is going to help the show grow even more. Facebook.com/Jason Rants Show. 30-year-old Henry Kyle Frizé of Virginia, he was arrested this morning. He got up, he brushed his teeth, he took a shower, he drank some wonderful coffee, he strolled on into the office at the Defense Intelligence Agency and was immediately arrested and then charged with two counts of willful transmission of national defense information. He's accused of passing along classified information to journalists. And as a result, if he's convicted, he can go up to 20 years in prison. Now, he allegedly leaked information on a foreign country's weapon system, according to The Hill. Now, the Justice Department didn't identify the journalists. They didn't say which outlets they worked for. We don't know if we're talking about print or radio or TV. But we do know that the outlets they worked for left some folks concerned. Because you know what you're not supposed to do, Producer Peyton?
What's that?
Leak classified information to journalists.
Ooh,
yeah,
man.
Probably that's not good.
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is kind of how the whole deep state idea has been sort of get percolating out there. I know some people are all in, some people aren't. I don't particularly like the term deep state because it does sound conspiratorial, but this is how it works. You've got people who don't care about the information that they're putting out there. They're doing so for a whole host of reasons. Now, in this case, I'm wondering if this is truly deep state, because this is what they're saying. One of the journalists apparently lived and possibly dated this guy that they arrested. So she was living with him, or he, I suppose, possibly dated him, according to the charging documents. And so I'm wondering if in that case, this is just someone who wanted to please a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah, no.
So that's not really deep state. This is, hey, I'm going to give you a scoop, and it's going to help your career.
Yeah, and, you know, it helps the relationship grow.
Just a little bit?
Yeah.
I mean, not anymore, because the next relationship he's going to have is with some guy in prison, but I'm just saying. Apparently...
I tried keeping a straight face.
I saw. One of the journalists apparently published 8 articles between May and July of 2018, and it contained classified information from intelligence reports that this guy allegedly accessed. So if he did it, I hope he goes to jail for the full 20 years. This is dangerous. You do not get to decide what should and should not be leaked. That is not your job. That's not your job. You're not a whistleblower. And if you were, it turns out, shocking I know, there's a system that a whistleblower can go through in order to shine a spotlight on something you believe needs to have a spotlight shined on. I hate this kind of self-serving selfishness. You don't get to decide. But you know what the biggest problem is for this guy? Not that he's going to go to jail, which obviously is a huge problem, but you know what the biggest problem in all of this is? He's not going to have the opportunity to stay in a Goodyear blimp Airbnb room.
That's what you're taking out of this?
Wasn't that a good...
That's what you're taking out of this?
That was a good transition to the next story.
I like this story.
Goodyear ends up listing one of their blimps on Airbnb for 3 one-night stays between October 22nd and October 24th. They're only doing this because they want to raise awareness for Goodyear, the brand. A stay runs only $150 a night. But here's why this is not a good deal at all. It's grounded the entire time. It doesn't go into the air. Did you realize that?
I realize that because
it's so dumb. Who could, then it's you're just in a small room in a warehouse somewhere.
You know
why would you want to do that?
You have a point because it's Airbnb, and so they should have put it in
put
the air.
Put it in the air.
Oh, that would
Even aside from that, I'm just saying, you know, if you're renting the thing, it's a blimp. The expectation is you're going to actually go into the air.
Well,
you're just in a warehouse.
What if you need to go to McDonald's and you're up? How high do blimps go?
I mean, I don't know, 100,000 feet.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
So say you're 100,000 feet in the air. Yeah. On a blimp, and you want to go get a McFlurry, you can't.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you could. It's a little bit more of a, what if you have a Postmate or an Uber Eats deliver it, but also in a blimp?
Wow.
Or a drone. Put the drone.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, and you send it up. CNN Travel reports, Goodyear squeezed a bed, a couch, two chairs, several tables, a potted plant, and plenty of football knickknacks into the tiny blimp gondola. I didn't think it was that small, because I saw the photos.
It looks tiny.
It doesn't look that tiny.
It looks horribly tiny.
It looks like it's about the size of a normal hotel room.
I feel like it looks like a tiny house.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. You've got way more room than a tiny house. They say the blimp will stay parked in an air hangar minutes from Goodyear's headquarters in Akron, Ohio. So now you're going to go to Akron.
Yeah, I got Akron.
Wants to do that. Sounds like they should be paying you. They say, luckily, guests can stretch their legs in a wall-less entertaining space just outside, complete with a TV and open bar.
Ooh. $150 for an open bar? Sign me up.
Yeah, but it says Goodyear won't allow guests to bring their own alcohol.
Mm.
So they probably, let's say you want something specific, then they're not going to just say, here's a Goodyear branded beer.
Oh,
sounds awful. There's nothing appealing about this. I get the whole idea of wanting to do kind of cool things to get the brand out there. There was a stunt that was pulled. I think it already happened. A Taco Bell hotel in Palm Springs.
Yeah,
it was basically a pop-up hotel.
That.
Yeah. And people got really excited and they really went all in. This was basically a luxury pop-up hotel where you can buy a whole bunch of Taco Bell stuff. The only purpose it served was to get people talking about Taco Bell and their new chalupas and whatever.
I'm a big Taco Bell fan, and I talked about it because of that.
Yeah, I'm just saying that was kind of cool, and there was something to experience, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. This is, I suppose, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing to be inside of a blimp, but not if it's grounded. So I don't, and let's say you go ahead and do this. Okay, what's the social media trend that you're getting? You're talking about Goodyear as in tires, or you're talking about Goodyear as in blimp? I just don't get it.
I get to come back into work and be like, hey, Jason, I slept in the Goodyear blimp this weekend.
And you know what? No, you know what I would say?
And I'd be like one of five people who's
ever
done that.
You know what my response would be?
What's that?
I wish you didn't come into the office. You should have stayed in Akron. It's begging for a snarky response.
It is. But, and the Taco Bell thing? Oh, the cantina down in Vegas? You were just there. Did you go to the cantina?
I didn't know they had a cantina.
Oh, they have a cantina.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's so good.
Ugh. I don't like Taco Bell. Thank you so much for tuning in.